As no doubt you're all aware, it's Easter Sunday. Yeah, and as we just already said, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's only one message that I think is appropriate for today, and that's all about Easter. Yeah, so you'll enjoy it, and you remember it, and when you're getting your Easter eggs. Okay, but before I bring you the word, let's just have a quick time of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us. Lord, I thank you that you're readily available to each one of us, 24 hours a day. And you're interested in everything, even the littlest things that we do and that we say. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with me as I bring the word that you've laid on my heart. Take anything that's not of you away from it. But Lord, we need to be fed from you this morning. We want to hear from you. We want to learn from you. We want to be obedient to you, Lord. We want to be worthy to be called your sons and daughters. So Lord, be with me now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The reading is from the NIV, and it's Matthew 28, 1 to 15. It would have been on the overhead, but technology, that wonderful thing, has let us down. But not to worry, it's quite a straightforward. I'm sure you're quite well aware of the passage, actually. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were whiter than snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. Strong passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need to hear from you this morning. So I humbly ask that you open your word to us, that we may fully understand the cost of the gift of reconciliation with you through the death and resurrection of your one and only Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to look at this not just as a historical event, but that we would recognize the true significance of Calvary. For Scripture tells us that it is only through belief in your Son, through his death and resurrection, that we can claim the promise of salvation. So Lord, just be with us now as we come around your word and look into it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Titles. I'm always worried about titles. I don't know about you, Heidi. But when you put a title on something, it's like trying to put God into a little box and package him up. And no matter how hard you try, you'll never do it. But I've come up with this title anyway, so whether you like it or not, you're stuck with it. A New Beginning, A New Relationship, by Grace. Now, we all know, as Christians, that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what we're talking about and looking into this morning. That's what Easter is all about. God's grace to each one of us. This morning, as we are well aware, it's Easter Sunday, when we remember and we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Scripture informs us that the week leading up to his death on the cross and his resurrection was full of a wide range of differing emotions. It's hard to believe the stress and the suffering that he must have gone through, because he knew everything that was ahead of him. There was the adulation of the crowds as he rode into Jerusalem on the colt. Hallelujah, hail King of the Jews. And everybody was happy and joyous. And then, not long after that, what happened? He was betrayed by Judas to the high priests, followed by the denial of who he was by Peter, that we heard about last week. And to cap it all, he was deserted by the disciples. They were all so afraid of what was going to happen. And what happened next at Jesus' trial by Pilate? We can read in Matthew 27, 22 to 26. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. And all the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Very strong passage. A lot happening there. Now, there's one thing that I found very strange, and I think most people do, is if Pilate felt that Jesus was innocent and washed his hands of it all, why did he hand him over to be flogged? I'll leave you to think about that one for a minute. Okay, you've thought. So, it's important to remember that nothing happened. None of the events were a shock or a surprise to Jesus. He knew fully what was going to happen. To me, that makes it an even greater price that he paid for each one of us. He knew it was going to happen. It wasn't just something he stumbled into and it just happened. It wasn't just an occurrence. It was something that he knew was bound to happen. He had foreknowledge of all these events because they were all prophesied about in the Old Testament by Isaiah. Isaiah talked approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus of what was going to happen. And Jesus knows Scripture better than I do or anybody else that you'll ever meet. Yeah. Jesus was born, and more importantly, as the Son of God, he knew that his Father had preordained all of these events and that they had to occur in the exact manner that they did, so that it didn't make a lie of the prophecies of God's word through the prophet Isaiah, who he loved. He knew he would be humiliated by the guards. He knew he would be stripped by them and that they would place a crown of thorns on his head. He knew that they would mockingly proclaim him as King of the Jews. He knew that they would spit on him before they nailed him to that cross and crucified him. Jesus was nailed to the cross at noon. And can you imagine he hung there for 3 hours? I don't know about you. I just can't imagine the pain. I've had pain, back pain and all the rest, and you think you're dying. You know, but I've got over that. But there's nothing so much of the pain with having nails driven into your hands and into your feet and hanging there naked on that cross. And you and I would probably have felt embarrassed if you had the time to think about it, but you're more likely not even worry about being embarrassed because of the pain would be so great. You would just give up and want to die quickly. But he hung there for 3 hours. He cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Can you imagine the agony of not only the crucifixion, but the feeling of separation from the Father that he was going through at that time? It was our sin, remember, that held him, that was nailed to the cross with him. And he became sin for you and me. A little later, Jesus cried out again in a louder voice, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. Then as we read in Matthew 27, verse 51, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What exactly did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? What was finished? Well, it seemed obvious to me that he was referring to the old order that demanded the offering of burnt sacrifices, the sacrificial lamb and bulls, etc. That the old order was finished. It died. It was nailed to the cross with Christ, with our sins, because it didn't work. But that was not the end, because after 3 days in the tomb, he was raised from the dead, as we read this morning in our opening reading. At dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to learn of his resurrection. As it appears that their loyalty to Jesus remained stronger than that of the disciples during this distressing time. This assertion, I believe, is supported by John's Gospel 19:26-27, where we read, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home." You know, I suppose some would think it strange that Jesus would be so concerned about his mother's needs and her welfare at a time when he's hanging on that cross. I think if you and I had been hanging there, it would have been the last thing on our minds. We'd be so self-centered and thinking about what was happening to us. But he was concerned about others. That's why he went to the cross in the first place, because of his concern for us. He must, as we've already said, have been experiencing intense pain, but despite that suffering, Jesus, as her oldest son, felt it was his duty to provide support and comfort for her future. Such love. Such love. He went to the cross willingly to pay the price for our sins and to conquer death once and for all, so that through believing in him, we too can enjoy a renewed fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In John 14:5-6, we read, "Thomas said to him, 'Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?' Jesus answered, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, I would say it couldn't be any clearer than that. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, there was no hope of a new beginning, a new relationship with God. It took Jesus' once and for all time sacrifice to make it possible for us to return to and enjoy a relationship with the Trinity. No more burnt offerings, no more blood on the aprons, no more smoke in the eyes at the temple, because it was done. That was accomplished. That was the old system was done away with. Here is what I mean by a new relationship, as Paul tells us in Romans 8, 28 to 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. That's the part of God's plan that Jesus proclaimed from the cross. And that's the work that was finished, that was possible. The old system was done away with. It was now possible for us to enjoy that restoration into the family of God through and only through accepting that gift on offer to us, the gift of his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We had to put our trust in Jesus, as John 3:16 couldn't put it any clearer. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Easter is not the finish, hallelujah. No, it was, as I said, the title of this, a new beginning, a new relationship that is ready and readily available to all who accept God's precious gift and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's take a look at Revelations chapter 20, verse 6, which tells us, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, does that sound to you like the finish? Jesus obviously did not consider it over. Otherwise, why did he instruct his disciples? As you can read in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Wow, what a promise, what a reassurance. Jesus was going to be with them to the very end of the age. When's the end of the age? If you're a disciple of the Lord, there is no end of the age. There's the end of this age, old age. But once you are raised or called on high, there is no end. Forever we'll be there in the courts of praise, worshipping the Lord. Until the second coming, we must be aware that Satan will be around trying to fill our heads with all sorts of doubts and fears concerning the Word of God. We all know from Scripture that even Jesus was tempted by Satan. So why should we be surprised when he troubles us? We need to put our full trust in the Lord. to trust him and to remember that he always honours his word. If we truly love him, then we need to do his will and to do it his way, not just do his will the way we want to do it his way. And not as Frank Sinatra's song goes, I did it my way. Let me reassure you that your way, nor my way, nor any other way than God's way, will never work. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in John 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this morning, as we give thanks for our sacrificial lamb, Jesus, this Easter, let us not forget that we serve a living, loving Saviour. Yes, he died. He went into the grave. He went down to hell. But on the third day, he rose again. And that is the Saviour that we can have a relationship with because of his resurrection. If the resurrection hadn't happened, then everything would have been in vain. But, alleluia, the Lord is risen. His kingdom continues and will continue until we are called home or he returns to collect us. So let us not forget that our work isn't finished. As the Great Commission was given to the disciples, if we belong to the Lord, we are his disciples. And those same conditions of the Great Commission apply to each and every one of us. Sobering thought. Not easy, but you know, we don't have to do it in our own strength. We need to rely on him, and he will give us the power and the ability and the words to do it when the occasions arise. He will send people across our paths who are seeking and searching. And at times we need to maybe throw up a quick arrow prayer. Lord, give me the courage to say what you've laid on my heart. Because you'll know that he wants you to speak to them. But you might need his courage, his prompting. So don't be afraid to say, Lord, I am lost. You know, please help me. Because he will help you. It's just like your child. If your child's in problem, stuck on anything, they say, help me, mummy, or help me, daddy. Any loving parent will go out of their way to help their children, and he will do more so than us. So, let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you loved us enough to send your one and only Son to bear our sin upon that cruel cross. Lord, we thank you that that cross is now empty. It is no longer of any use. A part as a reminder of the price that Jesus paid for each one of us. But it is an empty cross because he lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me. A long life's narrow way, as that chorus goes. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. And Lord, your word tells us that you will be with each and every one who believe in you till the very end of the age. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son. Thank you for the gift that you sent, the Holy Spirit, which was the beginning of the church. Yes, the crucifixion was the end of sin, the penalty of sin for those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the Holy Spirit was the beginning of your church. And we say thank you. And we thank you for your promise that wherever one or two are gathered in your name, that the Holy Spirit will be there in the midst, as will you and the Son, the Blessed Trinity. So be with us as we continue to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.